till we are together again. I will pray for you, my sister, and you just keep on lifting me up to Him. Won't you keep us in your prayers? God will keep us in His care. Let's keep praying for each other. Let's keep praying for each other till we are together again. I will pray for you, my brother. You just keep on lifting me up to Him. Won't you keep us in your prayers? God will keep us in His care. Let's keep praying.
Let's keep praying.
Let's keep praying for each other.
You ready for the word of life?
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Let's just sing that as our brother Harold comes to bring the bread of life to us this evening. You pull on the gift of God. Listen, this is a unique camp service. We have three pastor-type teachers. My dad's a bona fide teacher with papers. He's just a teacher. And then Brother Strew's a teacher. And Brother Harold's a pastor teacher. And so if you're looking for shouts and excitement and decibels of noise, then that's not how we measure the presence of God.
Amen.
Listen to the word. God is present in His word. You listen carefully to this teacher. He's got a lot to say to your heart. And it's going to help you live your day-to-day life.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your
Brother Harold has created two books, put two books together, a compilation of quotes and the headings with the thought. And if the brothers would come, there's 500 of these of one book. It's the family you have 500 of, is that correct?
Yeah.
Or the other one?
Yeah, 300 of the other one.
Okay, 300 of the other one. And so we're going to give, we want one per household. One per household. So mom and dad, this would be one per household. So if the brothers would pass them out, as Brother Harold is going to be making a way. Pardon? Yeah, we'd be able to pass out both books, one per household. And then whatever we have left over, we'll set in the back. And those of you that want an individual copy, you can be able to get those, whatever we have left over. Right now, we want to get you one per household. And he'll be drawing from some of this as a resource, but a lot of this you'll be able to just take home and read and ponder over and pray over. I know you'll be really blessed by it. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Certainly a joy and pleasure for me to be back again. I want to first of all thank Brother Jeff and the local church for the kind invitation. I want to say thank you very much. May God richly bless them and be with them. And it's a tremendous blessing to be part of the End Time Bride. And so we are. Just thank God for His grace and mercy. I want to bring greetings from my home church in Cape Town, all the believers from South Africa. Also, special greetings from my wife, Ernestine. She just went for a total hip replacement in the month of May, so she's healing up. And we just want to extend our greetings from her to you and from my family. May God richly bless you. And we're looking forward to spend eternity with you.
Amen.
We are all from different walks of life. We come from different nationalities. We're from different backgrounds. But we thank God we are not Africans, we're not Americans, we're not Germans. We are Christians. And we have a national spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so we thank God for His grace and mercy that we are here today. We never chose God, but God chose us. We've got nothing to do with it. God is doing it all for us. And so we thank God that we never prayed for Malachi 4, but yet God sent him. So it wasn't our prayers that brought him here, but it was God fulfilling His word. And so God cannot change His mind about us. God's mind is always perfect, and God has got no second thoughts. His first thought is original and is perfect, and God cannot alter that thought. And so we want to thank God for His grace today and His mercy that we are here, and we trust the Lord to be a blessing to you while we are here. And I know it's a family camp. We could maybe preach on different subjects, on the seventh seal or the seven thunders or the coming of the Lord or adoption, resurrection, token, and we can take various subjects. But because it's a family camp, we want to focus on the family. And I trust that God will richly bless us and be with us today. If you have your Bibles with you, we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we want to read from verse 1. We certainly appreciate Brother Lonnie Jenkins' message this morning and yesterday, and certainly just so good and so many things that you can really learn. And sometimes when you're in a situation, you wish you could remember all those things you heard this morning. But we thank God for His grace that the Holy Spirit brings it all back to our memories again. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we want to read a few verses from there, and I trust God to bless us. Now there was a certain man of Ramah in Zophim of Mount Ephraim, the name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tor, the son of Zoph, and then an Ephraite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, and the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all his her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to a house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of him of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we deem this a grand privilege once again to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you for the two services of God that our brother Lord so ably taught us today. Lord, under clouded spirit, and of God, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we feel so good, Lord, how you came this morning and just dropped down with the Holy Spirit, and we could just come and cleanse our hearts in your presence. We want to say thank you, Lord. We want to pray that you will bless each and every one that has come from near and far. You know our hearts, you know our thoughts, you know everything about us. There's nothing we can hide from you. And so we pray that your blessings will be upon your word. And I pray, oh God, may you just stand behind your word. May you endorse your word, back it up, vindicate it. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit give us unction to speak the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to take my subject to tonight on the Hannah, the godly mother. And we want to be speaking on motherhood and Hannah, the great godly mother. And I trust today that God will richly bless your heart by the word of God. Now, we are so happy today that Brother Branham, the great messenger, came and God has been gracious to us, that he loved us, that he sent us Elijah the prophet. And the purpose of the messenger was for us to receive the word and thereby the word be transformed in image of Jesus Christ. So we find that our position, as Brother Branham said, is our power. It is not your gifts, it is not what we can possess in life, but your position is your power. And it's the same like Brother Branham said with Abraham. Abraham was in the promised land. And when Abram was in the promised land, Abram could do so many things. Abram could conquer five kings. Abram could have so many victories. But the moment Abram left his position, he feared one king. So your power in life is not what you possess, or what gifts you have, or what you can do, but your power is your position. And that's why the same importance for you to be in the right church, because that's when you find the right place where God wants you to be, that's going to be your power. Amen. That's going to be your strength, because God places you in a certain environment, in a certain setting, and thereby in that certain church or that certain setting, you can bring out your full potential. And so God has placed everything around the earth. There's certain fruits that cannot grow in certain climates, but if you take that fruit and put it in the right climate, it will bring out its full potential. So that's why when you find your position where you should fellowship, where you should be, where God wants you to be, that is your power. And that's why Brother Branham says, if God sent me to Africa and everybody's dying of malaria, that'll be the safest place for me to be in, because that's where God wants me to be in. So the positioning where God places you in, that is your power. And that's why it's important to find where God wants you to be. And sometimes you can be in a nice church, a stable pastor, but that's not your position God wants you to be in. You've got to find where God, because that minister, absolutely, Brother Branham says, your pastor will take you through. So he is your husband. So you've got to find your right husband, because that man's ministry will complement your life and will give you victory and take you into the resurrection. So we thank God. God knew, that's what Brother Branham says, God knew Lucifer. He knew that in Lucifer will be a power of deception. And that's why before he designed Lucifer, God already placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because he knew that in Lucifer will be a power to deceive you. And so before he designed him, God already placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that Lucifer cannot deceive you. And so we have a promise today that Satan cannot deceive us. Because God already made a provision for you. And that's why the devil can never put you and sin back together again. You are not a thought. You are the original thought of God. Amen. And be the original thought of God. The devil can never put you and sin back together again. And so we find there is no way we can describe and imagine the state of grace the bride is under. It's beyond human words. Because God took a picture of you. And the only way God sees you is the way he saw you when he took the picture of you. And when God took the picture, you were not crippled, you were not blind, you were not smoking or drinking, but God saw you perfect. And that's the only way God sees you. And Brother Branham says, if you can only see the way God saw you, it's all over. And the whole ministry of the end time is for you to just see the way God saw you in the beginning. And once you can see the way God saw you, it's all over. Amen. Your body, you will be raptured from this dimension into another dimension because you'll find out your purpose while you're really here. And so rapturing faith is a new kind of faith. It is to stand still and to see what God has done. It's a rapturing faith is a new kind of faith. And Brother Benham says your faith is unseen. Your faith is a substructure. You might see a high-rise building and you might see all the building in the sky, but there's more of the building down on the earth. So it's unseen, and faith is in the substructure. And you've got more faith that you ever can dream of because it's right inside of you. Can we say praise the Lord? So we find that's why when eagles gather together, we don't gather for confusion, we gather for feeding. That's where when the carcass, wherever the carcass is there, the eagles gather together. And eagles don't come together for confusion, for fighting, but eagles come together for feeding the word of God. And that's why ministers, we do not preach our resentment in the people. You feed them the word of God. And you find some people that would minister the word of God and they would minister their own resentment back in the church. But we're not here to minister our resentment in the church, we are here to feed the word of God. Because by feeding the word of God, we grow up. And that's why Brother Benham says that God took a picture of you, and that picture remains in the mind of God until you be expressed in a certain church age. You could not come forth in Luther's day. You could not come forth in any other day. But you could only be expressed in this day. Because God designed you to be expressed in the church age. And that's why we are happy today that we are here. Because we never asked to be here. We never asked mom and dad, I want to be around. God designed us to be here. God planned you. He guided you. He guided your genetic line. He knew exactly what country you'll come in. He knew exactly where you'll be. And God has planned everything. That's why God has a plan. We cannot alter this plan. We can only align ourselves with this plan. And we're going to make it. It's not because of our own good ability, our own good works, but it's because of what He's done for us. So Christianity is not a great big do, it's a great big done. It's all over. It's a great big done. And God is only trying to take your amnesia away from you to show you what is really done. Amen. And inside of you is this great potential to bring out Christ. Amen. We are Jesus in bride form. Those in the bride will be so much like Him, she will be Him. Amen. Getting into our subject on the profile of a godly mother. Brother Benham says, mother is so great, as you know, that the first one who receives you in this life is your mother. No one can touch you because you've conceived and she bears you under her heart, and she's the first to know you, to hold you, the first hands that touch you and to wipe the tears from your eyes. She's the first one to pat you, to love you, and to coo over you in life, and to think that there is not enough honor that we could give a godly mother. Mother is the first with the child, and she is the greatly responsible for what the child will be based upon, the way the mother starts the child in the path that the child must travel. Take a man like Moses. I could credit anything to his character. It was because he had a God-sent mother. It was she who prayed and held and had longed for the baby. She knew she was born. He was born for a purpose. She fed him, raised him, taught him, and everything she did, it was by faith. Abraham Lincoln one day made a statement and said, if there could be any good thing found in me, it is because of a godly mother that raised him to serve the Lord. You see, a child listens to its mother, some little touch about the mother that the child will listen to when it's hurt. It'll go to the mother for consolation before it will go to the father, because she was the first with the child. There's some gift that God gives a mother to be that way. I mean a real mother. Now I believe that mothers are honorable and mothers are godly. You say, I lost Mother's Day. I went with a bunch of flowers, but she would appreciate a whole lot more. Just she sat down and talked to her just a little bit, write her a little line, pat her on the shoulder, kiss her on the cheek, tell her you love her, it'll go a lot more further than the flowers that you could buy from the florist. Mother is special. The only thing that remains of Mother's Day is commercialism. It is not pursued by mother lovers, but it's pursued by money lovers. Motherhood in our day has been destroyed. Motherhood in our day has been destroyed. It is mock. Marriage has become a joke. Parental responsibilities is ignored. This is the generation we are living in. Children are massacred by abortion. Mothers exercise selfishness to fulfill their own satisfaction and have no regard for children who they ignore. And this is the generation we are living in. But God's standard hasn't changed. Motherhood is the highest calling a woman will ever know. Amen. The highest calling any woman will ever know is motherhood. The godly woman, Paul said in Titus, ought to teach the younger women to be lovers of their own husbands, lovers of the children, chaste, pure keepers in their own homes, the one who raised up children to raise up a godly generation. That has been God's standard all along, for mothers to raise up a godly generation. It all started with Sarah, who was a gift from God to Abraham, a mother of faith. Sarah, a model of faith, and also a great model of obedience. When we look at Sarah, the Bible said Sarah by faith. When we look at Abram, Abram by faith. And Sarah, we find, was the model of faith and of obedience. There was an example of Rachel, whose last words before she died at the giving birth of one of her children, which she named Benoni, a child of grief. Then it was Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and Miriam who fought for the life of that godly child. Then there was Deborah, called by God a mother in Israel. These women played a tremendous role, because you cannot get a great man unless it's a great woman. Because all great men today comes from great women. Then there was Ruth, the sweet woman who became the mother of Obed, who bore Jesse, who bore David, and out of whose lineage the Messiah came. It all came from the lineage through the woman. And that's why Brother Branham said that God could not be Savior. God could not express His attributes, but only by and through the woman. It was the woman who released the attributes of God. And that's why Eve had to fall. There had to be a deception so that God can express His attributes by and through the woman. And then there was Elizabeth, that sweet, gracious mother of John the Baptist, one of the greatest prophets who lived the earth. Then there was Mary, the mother of our Lord. And you can go through many women to the Bible, and we can see a godly pattern through the Bible, characters of women. But at the moment, we want to focus our attention on the profile of a woman called Hannah. Hannah, the godly mother. Her name speaks of her beauty. It means grace. It comes from the word Joanne, Anne, Joan. It's Hannah. It means grace. Indeed, she is the emblem of womanhood. She became mother by faith. She became a mother by faith. And she appears in the book of Samuel as a childless woman. She was a childless woman. Then she became mother of the one of the greatest men who walked the earth. It was called Samuel. And for Israel to get a great man, God was looking for a great woman. And as we see the birth of Samuel, we see the profile of a godly mother being made manifest. And the book of Samuel opens that it was the period of the judges. There was no kings in Israel as yet. It was a time of turmoil. It was a time of confusion for Israel. It's a time that Israel was vulnerable to the Philistines. It was a time that the religion has grown cold. And the Bible said there was no open vision. God had nothing to say to that nation. And so we find it is the time for a great man to rise to take leadership. Samson has just died, and the Philistines was attacking Israel. She was vulnerable, and there was no king in Israel. They were controlled by the judges. And it's the time that Israel was in a backslidden condition, and they were looking for a great man. But God wasn't looking so much at the great man. God was looking for a great woman. Amen. And so we find it's a time for a great man to rise to take the leadership. And with the death of Samson, the people were divided and the priesthood was corrupted. The church was corrupted. There was no prophet in the land. There was no open vision. God had nothing to say to Israel. And everything was in a corruption, and they were looking for a great man to come on the scene to lead Israel. But God was looking for a great woman. Amen. The nation was weak and there was no open vision. God even had nothing to say. The nation needed a great leader, and God needed a great woman to shape that great man.
Amen.
God was looking for a man, looking for a woman to shape that great man. And Samuel was not only a product of the work of God, but a product of a godly mother. A godly mother, she gave a nation a godly child.
Amen.
Amen. She gave Israel a godly child.
Amen.
And we read in 1 Samuel, Hannah had no children. She was barren. She had no children. She was barren. God had closed the womb, and she knew that God could open the womb. If God closes the womb, God can open the womb.
Amen.
And Hannah knew it wasn't her problem because God had closed the womb. But there was three things that was outstanding with Hannah. She had a right heavenly relationship. Number two, she had a right husband relationship. And number three, she had a right home relationship. So her heavenly relationship was right. She had a good husband relationship, and she had a right home relationship. And it is these three things that stood out in this godly mother. A relationship with God was intact. A relationship with Elkanah was intact. A relationship in a home was godly. And God knew that Hannah was there, placed in a situation that she didn't wanted to be in, but God was forming this godly mother to bring forth this godly child.
Amen.
The most important relationship in a family in raising godly children, and it's not the relationship between the parents and the children, but it's between mother and father. And that relationship was right there between Hannah and Elkanah. What you communicate to your children dominates their thinking. What you communicate to your children will dominate their thinking. They are learning about human relationship from the two of you. And that's why it's important for parents not to fuss and stew before the children. Because what you do before them, you are communicating human relationship to your children. And they are being conformed in what they are looking at. They are learning about virtue. They are learning about sin. They are learning about love, forgiveness, all through you. You have become their Bible. And they watch your behavior, and they are conformed in what they are looking at. And that's why for you to raise up godly children, there's got to be a godly mom and a godly dad to create a godly atmosphere in a godly home. We see in 1 Samuel, Elkanah was married to two women. One was Hannah and one was Peninnah. Peninnah having children, and Hannah could not give to her husband that which her heart most longed to give. Here in the Old Testament, we find polygamy was a part of human culture, but it was never a part of God's design. But it was a part of human culture in the Old Testament. So Elkanah created for Hannah a very difficult situation. He had two wives. It was legal in the Old Testament. Verse 3, and the man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And amidst Elkanah's polygamy situation, he would go up to worship God. To sacrifice to the Lord in Shiloh, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was located. So we see Elkanah was a worshiping man. The Bible says he worshiped God in Shiloh. So we find that Elkanah was a worshiping man, a godly man, and Hannah had a believing husband because he worshiped God. He went up to Shiloh 3 times a year to the feast of the Lord, and he was a worshiping man. So Hannah had a believing husband, but because of the polygamy situation, there was pain and heartache in that family. But Hannah had a believing husband, and that is the first true ingredient in raising up godly children. It's got to be a believing parent. That's why young women wanting to marry, you must marry a believing husband. Because Hannah had a believing husband. Because you need that spiritual headship, Hannah had that spiritual headship. And that's what the messenger said, under no circumstances should a believer marry an unbeliever. Right. Hannah had a consolation that her husband was a worshiping man. Contrary to the two sons of the high priest Eli, they were ungodly, who had no respect for God and their father, and their father could not bring them to obedience. Here was the priest of the house of God, and his two sons were committing fornication around the tabernacle of God. They were selling the offerings, the meat that the people would bring, and they would make merchandise with the offerings, and they were committing adultery around the tabernacle. And these two were evil boys. Their father was a minister. Amen. The corrupt priesthood did not discourage Elkanah and Hannah to worship God in Shiloh. It did not discourage them. And no matter, brother, sister, what happens in the local church, that shouldn't discourage you. Amen. You don't come to church to watch brother so or sister so or the deacon or the pastor, but you come there for one purpose, is to worship God. Amen. And here was a situation that the priesthood was corrupted. But that did not disturb Hannah to go worship God. They still worship. They still sought the Lord. And sometimes God would allow a situation to happen in the church to test your reaction. Amen. To see what you will do about it. That's why you don't come to church to worship personalities. You come to church to worship God. Amen. And no matter what the church goes through, you focus your attention on God. Amen. And God will sort those things out. The corrupt priesthood did not discourage Elkanah and Hannah to worship God in Shiloh. They could have said, why should we go to Shiloh? The priesthood is corrupted. The sons of the pastor, the sons of Eli is corrupted. Why should we worship God? But that did not discourage Hannah. She had one focus, that she's got to worship God. They worship together. That's why your worship is vital to projecting godliness to your children. And we see Elkanah and Hannah, they were worshiping together. It wasn't the mom going this way and the dad going this way. They were worshiping together. Amen. They went to the house of the Lord together. They were praying together. They were united as a family, and they did things together, and they worshiped God in Shiloh all together. Amen. That's why the messenger said, under no circumstances should a believer marry an unbeliever. Hannah was so blessed that she had a believing husband. And that's why in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with their daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall not take thy son. For they shall turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. We find that God was against mixed marriages. God hated that. God says, I don't want your sons to marry their daughters. I don't want their sons to marry your daughters. God made a distinction that under no circumstances must any of the Israelites marry any of the heathen nations. God hated mixed marriages. God's purpose is that the godly marry the godly for the sake of the next generation. That's what the godly must marry the godly. For one purpose, for the sake of the next generation. Not only did Elkanah and Hannah had a worshiping relationship, but they shared their love together. Amen. Verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. He loved Hannah, but God had shut up her womb. Peninnah was there to produce children that Hannah could not have, but Elkanah made no attempt to hide his love for Hannah. Because the Bible said that he gave her a worthy portion. He came to express his love to her. She was the one who had his heart, and that was her security. Amen. She had the heart of her husband. And the Bible said he gave her a worthy portion because he loved her. A woman's security is in a man's love for her. Not in a family house, not in furniture, bank account, or retirement plan.
Amen.
A woman's security is in the love that the man projects to her. If she doesn't get any love, there's no security. And he can buy her a nice home and furnish the home with furnishes the home, have a good bank account, retirement plan, but that's not what she looks for. She's looking for the security, and that's his love. And Hannah had that security. She had that love because the Bible says that he loved her and he gave her a worthy portion. Hannah was secured in his love, and she needed that because he had another wife. He had another wife, and she had children, and Hannah had no children. So his love to her was her security. See how God balanced things out. Hannah had the love of Elkanah, and Peninnah had the children that God allowed her to bear, to receive that love. God was gracious to all of them. She had the children, and Hannah had the love of Elkanah. And he gave her that worthy portion. It is vital in being a godly mother to share love of your husband so that there can be a security, a warmth, a trust, and there can be a quietness.
Amen.
And that's why it's important to express your love to your wife. It is not the furniture. It is not the things you do on the outside. She wants you. You can be busy on the outside world. You can make lots of money. You can be running all around. You can be a great achiever, but you're running away from your own responsibilities. You're running away from the thing God wants you to really nurture. So that the woman can give herself to the children and not only feel that she must be a beauty queen to win the affection of her husband. She needs that love and she needs that security. And Hannah had that. And that's why Elkanah could tell her, you are more to me than 10 sons. Verse 6 and 7. And he did so year by year when he went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Peninnah was provoking Hannah. And every time Hannah would come to the house of the Lord and they would be together, Peninnah would provoke Hannah. And she would feel sad about it. Peninnah would provoke her because the Lord closed the womb. That wasn't Hannah's problem. It was the Lord that closed the womb. And Brother Branham said, sometimes God will just close your womb for a certain purpose. The same like God could close your womb to all denominational seeds and open your womb when Malachi 4 came along. God would close the womb of Sarah and just shut the womb up and let all serpent seed come through and then open it up at the right time when the righteous seed comes forth.
God can close the womb and God can open the womb. And she knew that it wasn't her problem. It wasn't her private sin. It was God closing her womb. Verse 8. Elkanah said to Hannah, "Why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" Hannah had the affection of her husband. He was sensitive to her feelings. He shared with her. He entered into what she was going through, showing his affection to her. And he said to her, "Aren't you more to me than 10 sons? Why is this godly woman? The soil was right to produce a godly mother. The soil was right. To produce a godly mother, there was a heavenly relationship. There was a good husband relationship. And brother, there was a good home relationship. Why is this godly woman? But the soil was right to produce a godly mother. She had a right husband relationship. They shared worship together. And it's a privilege to be able to share worship together with your wife. And I believe the most wonderful times that we can have is when we pray together with our wives. I believe it's special. I believe it's important for every man to make time to pray with your wife. Lock the room, maybe in your front room, hold the hand, let you express, let you pray to God, and you can agree as she prays, and you amen as she prays, and when you pray, she amens. What are you doing? You're cleaning spirits in your life. All your resentment, all your impatient spirits are cleaned up by prayer. And I believe it's important for you to pray together. It's important. I believe couples should pray together every day. Not just 5 minutes at the supper table, but there should be certain times set aside that you pray with your wife. That you can express, that you can utter words to God and worship God. And when you pray together, you remove all inequalities. You realize that there's no male or female, but you are one in Christ. God hears a prayer of a godly mother just the same way as God hears a prayer of a godly father. Worship is the deepest dimension in human life. And that's why God wants your worship. That's why Brother Branham says God needs you more than you need God. God wants you to worship Him. God wants you to express. God wants you to tell Him what He is. And I believe before we can really ask God anything, we should absolutely honor Him and uplift Him and worship Him. Brother Branham says in one quote, he says, "Just let us praise Him a little bit and see if He won't do something for us." And I believe the moment we praise God, we just tell Him. Don't tell the Lord, "Lord, I need a fridge, I need a stove, I need this, I need this." Don't give the Lord a big grocery list of all your needs. First, worship Him. Tell Him that He's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammai. Tell Him He's the Creator of the heavens and earth. Express His great attributes before Him. Praise Him a little bit. And when you do that, He comes down with the supreme anointing. And then you can make your needs known to God. Can we say praise the Lord? Worship is the deepest dimension in human life. They shared love. They moved together in the presence of God with one another. And I believe it's important to pray with your wife. It's important to make time with her, hug her, and put your arm next to her and pray and worship the Lord. And you create an atmosphere. You bring strength. You clean spirits of resentment, spirits of impatience, spirits that comes in and defiles your home, your life, and your spirit. You come and clean it up by prayer. Not only was her relationship with her husband right, but she had a godly woman, she had a right heavenly relationship. She worshiped God. She prayed. She knew where to go to with her problem, right to the Lord. She had a passion for the Lord's best. A passion for the Lord's best. She wanted a child. Amen. She wasn't going to Shiloh, you know, for her own ego. She was going there for the Lord's best. She wanted a child. She wanted a child so much that she wept and fasted. Her heart was broken over the fact that she could not have a child. She did not have a selfish motive to live out her own unfulfilled fantasies. She wanted a child to give it to God. Amen. What a godly mother. Amen. A godly woman this was. She wanted the child to give it back to God. She wanted a child because she knew that God's best gift for a woman is a child. And she wanted that gift. And she prayed, she fasted. Children are an inheritance from the Lord, and it is God who opens the womb of the mother and makes the heart to rejoice. Amen. The gift of God to a woman is a child. And Hannah knew that gift, and she prayed and she sought the Lord. She says, God, you've got to open my womb. You've got to bless me with a child. When you do bless me, I'm going to give it back to you again. She desired a child because she wanted God's best. She wanted to honor and glorify God. And she knew that God's gift for a woman is a child. Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. And she wept sore. This was a desperate woman. Trusting God to open a womb and give her a child that she so desperately needed and wanted. She knew where to go to. She went to the temple and she prayed. She was a woman of prayer. She prayed in desperation. What a godly woman. She wasn't going to any other avenues, but she was going to the right channel. She knew who to consult. It's God. Because the Bible says God closed the womb. She knew that God is the giver of all good gifts and the giver of life. That God could open the womb. She knew that. So she went to the right channel. Verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. She opened her heart by faith, totally depending on God. She had a right heavenly relationship. She knew God. Amen. What a godly woman. She was a woman of promise. She said, Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall be no razor come upon his head. She promised to give the child back to God. And promised the Lord that he will take a Nazarite vow, a total abstaining from all wine, banquets, appearances, a total consecration. Amen. What a woman she was. Amen. Not only a woman of prayer, a woman of worship, but she was also a woman of promise. And Hannah promised God this child because she just wanted to be fulfilled as a mother. She had one desire that was to raise up the child for the Lord and then give it back to God. That's the essence of a godly woman, an essence of a godly mother is to give the child back to God. She wanted to turn the child back to God from where the child came from. What a noble desire. What a noble desire to take it back where it comes from. God, you're the giver of all good gifts. You're the giver of life. And I'm going to give it back to you again. What a godly woman. She wanted the Lord's best. When Hannah was praying, the high priest Eli could not discern a woman drunk with wine and a woman broken in prayer. The priesthood was in a backslidden condition and he had no discernment. There was a woman broken in prayer and he was looking at her as a woman drunk with wine. And when Eli reprimanded Hannah, she sweetly said, no, my Lord, I am not drunk. I am a woman oppressed in spirit. Hannah never came up and defied the priest and rebuked him. She says, no, my Lord, I'm not a woman. I'm not a woman drunk with wine. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You have misjudged me. Consider not your handmaid as a worthless woman. Hannah was godly, a praying woman, a worshiping woman, a woman of promise. Then Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition. She wasn't a worthless woman. She was a virtuous woman. And she was a godly woman. She wasn't worthless, not a drunkard, but a godly woman. Verse 18, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Why? Because she had perfect faith, perfect patience. She gave it to God. She wasn't going to remain frustrated. The moment you commit things to God, you don't have to be frustrated anymore. Amen. Committed to Him. And she knew when she committed a situation to God, she left and she was no more sad.
That's good.
She knew that God would answer her prayer.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
And the moment you come to the end of your strength, God giveth and giveth and giveth more grace.
Amen.
When you come to the end of your resources, God pours in more strength. When you give up, then God begins.
Amen.
When you come to the end of your human ability, God takes over.
Amen.
When you realize you cannot do it anymore, then God says, I want to begin with you.
Amen.
And Hannah came to a situation and says, Lord, I've given it all to you. She poured her soul out to God. And she left the temple of the Lord and she was no more frustrated. Amen. She said she is no more sad. She surrendered it all. Her faith was a substructure faith.
Amen.
She trusted God. She knew that God would absolutely come and hear her prayer. And Hannah was also a woman of praise. When God gave her the child, what was the response? Praise, honor. When God opened the womb, there was praise and honor and glory. She was a woman not only of worship or prayer, but she was also a woman giving God praise and thanks. And when God gave her that child, she expressed that pure, unbroken praise streaming from a thankful soul. And look what Hannah is saying here. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiced in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in my Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry see, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that had many is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich, he bringeth low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness, for thy strength shall no man prevail. And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalted the one of his anointed.
Amen.
This was Hannah's praise. 10 verses from 1 Samuel 2 and 1 to 10. Hannah was doing what Hannah was praising God. Hannah was absolutely exalting the Lord. She was singing like the song of Moses, praising God because God has opened her womb.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? A godly mother is known by a praise. That's the pattern. Hannah was a woman of prayer, of worship, of promise, and of praise. And when God opened the womb, brothers and sisters, she was absolutely praising God from the depths of her soul that God heard her prayer. Hannah could say, this is the child of my passion, a child of my vow. I will not forsake my time with my child. I will care, nurse, and I will protect him until he's weaned and ready for God's service. Amen. Hannah not only dedicated herself to the child, but Hannah also dedicated her child to the Lord. She dedicated herself to the child, and she also dedicated the child to the Lord. She sought nothing for him in return to earn wealth, to have him as a career, or brag about him. She literally gave the child away. Amen. She had no selfish motive. Her objective or motive was, God, if you bless me with a child, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not going to raise him up to have a career one day and to be wealthy and he can support me. No. If you give him to me, I will give him back to you again. In 1 Samuel 2, he says, and he ministered before the Lord as a little boy and was dressed as a priest would be dressed. His whole life was to minister before the Lord. And Hannah made him a new robe yearly. And for Samuel that Hannah gave to the Lord in return gave her 5 other children. Amen. Hannah took the child and says, Lord, I'm going to give it back to you. God is no man's debtor.
That's right.
Whatever you give to God, God will give it back to you.
Amen.
If you give your time to God, God will bless you in another way. If you bring your tithes to the storehouse, God will bless you this way. Whatever you give to God, God is no man's debtor. And when Hannah gave Samuel back to God, the Bible says, and God gave in return 5 other children.
Amen.
What a godly woman. If she had to pray and says, Lord, I need this child because I want to defy Penina. I need this child because I want to defy her. I want to show her that God has also blessed me. No, she said, Lord, if you do bless me, I'm going to give it away to you.
Wow. Amen.
I'm going to give my gift that you've blessed me with. I'm going to give the gift back to God.
Amen.
And God saw a motive and God saw her objective. And God gave her 5 other children. What a godly mother.
Amen.
She never stopped being mother. No matter how old she became, she was still mother. That's why it's a blessing to be a mother. To be a godly mother. That's why when God blesses you with a child, the first time that child will hear the name of Jesus is when the time the child sucks the breast of the mother. The mother should pray, Lord, bless the milk as the child would drink. In the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ should be uttered the moment the child touches the breast of the mother for the first time. The name of Jesus should be breathed. To raise up a child in an atmosphere of a godly home and a godly atmosphere. I want to ask you, are you a godly mother? Are you preparing younger women to be godly mothers? And to the men, are you creating an atmosphere where your wife can create godly children? And to you young people, are you honoring your father and obeying your mother? And you might say, Brother Beckett, my mother is ungodly. My mother is not a believer. But I want to ask you the question, are you praying for your mother? She was the one God used to bring you out to the earth. No matter how ungodly she might be, the question is, are you praying for your mother? Woman in the Bible, we find God in His grace, under desperation, always they just surrender all to God. Woman reacts. And Hannah, in desperation, she was reacting. She was emotional. She poured her soul to God. And that's where, when woman is in desperation or in a situation, they don't ask questions. They surrender all to God. Look at Elisha. Look at the woman who saw him as a man of God. She did not walk up and say, God bless you, Elijah. She prepared, he's a man of God. She told her husband, we should build a little house for him. And when he comes through, we can refresh him. See, the woman, she acts. That's the way she is. She expresses, she acts. And if you are going to be a blessing back to her, that's the way you do it. Brother Branham's example is to work with her. And when God, and after she had done all this for Elijah, Elijah knowing the way God made her, Elijah tells Gehazi, we have not even thanked her. We can do, what can we do for her? She replied, there is nothing you can do for me. I'm among my own people. Everything is all right. But Gehazi noted that she didn't have a child. Elijah said, she have been so nice to us. Go down and say, thus said the Lord, this time next year you'll have a child. Look at the way God blessed and acted and complimented the good behavior of this woman. Then she nursed the child, and then the child died. She did not panic. She said, saddle me a mule. Ride as hard as you can. Go to the man of God. Don't stop till I bid you to stop. She acted. She said, I'll never ask for this child. It was God who gave it to me, so God can raise it up. She said, I never asked for this child. He says, God gave it to me. And so God is the one who can raise it up. She was in desperation, and women under desperation, they surrender all to God. Like Hannah under desperation, she gave all to God. And God came to meet her. Even Paul says, her household can be won by the chaste behavior, her conduct without speaking, but by her actions. These old-time women in desperation threw themselves in the hands of God. But today, it is so different. Old-time women, when under severe desperation, under crisis, they commit themselves totally in the hands of God. And God took over. That's why the best that comes out of women is under desperation, a true thing comes out. Look at Sarah. The angels came and Elohim was among them. They're going down to destroy Sodom, and Abram is sitting in the tent door meeting them. And after a while he asked God, he said, we have no children. They were not afraid to ask God. He talked with God. Let's be careful what culture and nationalities does to us. It can break the original purpose and parent as it's supposed to be today. And Sarah, under desperation, brothers and sisters, she believed God. And all these Bible women in the Old Testament, they, under desperation, when they heard something, they committed all to God. Abigail, under desperation, she just surrendered all to God. The woman that washed the Lord's feet, under desperation, she just committed all to God. And we find that the trace of the Old Testament Bible woman, under great desperation, they gave it all to God. And God came to answer their prayer. What a great thing today that God in this hour still has godly women. I believe the message of the hour has made us godly mothers. It has formed us into godly fathers. I believe it has brought us such godly atmospheres that we are the new creation of Jesus Christ. Because the word of God, brother, sister, has molded us into a godly generation. Amen. Look at the Mexican woman, her reaction. When she heard about the blind man, she could see she had her dead baby in her hand. She did not talk to anybody. She didn't reason how it's done. The ushers could not stop her. She was under desperation. Woman reacts. Man acts. Woman reacts. She went acting as the woman she knew. She threw herself right in the arms of God's servant. And she was in the right channel. And that's a blessed place for a godly mother to throw yourself in. Is to throw yourself back in the arms of God. Amen. Say, God, I can't have a child. Lord, you've closed my womb. Lord, you've done this. Throw yourself back in the arms of God. Amen. Can we say, praise the Lord?
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. We look at Abigail. When David sent his men to get something to eat, Nabal, her husband, refused to assist. David was angry. He was coming for judgment. But look at Abigail reacting. She said, saddle me an ass. Get everything ready, get provisions, meat, barley, wheat. She met David on the way. She knelt, begged, and prophesied. The blessings of God came upon them. Women under desperation never ask questions. They just commit themselves to God. That's what David said, Lord, I'd rather throw myself in the hands of God than in the hands of man. Yeah. Says, Lord, let me fall in the hands of God and in the hands of man. And Hannah knew that God closed the womb. Hannah knew it wasn't somebody else that closed the womb. God was the one who closed the womb. And she committed herself totally to God. Amen. And by a surrender, by giving all to God, she raised up a godly man by the name of Samuel. A great prophet. A mighty prophet. But it came through a godly woman. She was a great woman. She was barren. God closed the womb. But because of a prayer and because of a right heaven relationship, a husband relationship, a home relationship, and all those relationships that she had, God could unlock that womb. And she would give that child back to God. And Israel was delivered. God gave them a leader to give them vision back again.
Amen. Amen.
Who was behind the scenes? It was Israel looking for a godly man, but God was looking for a great woman.
Amen.
And we thank God today for Hannah's.
Amen.
Thank God today for Hannah's that can surrender themselves to God.
Amen.
When your husband is a military dictator, commit him to God.
Amen.
Situations happen in your home, commit it to God. If things happen with your kids, you can't do anything for them anymore, go in desperation.
Yes.
Say, God, here's my son, here's my daughter. I'm not going to leave you until you save him.
Yes.
Take him to God.
Yes.
Situations happen in the home, you can't understand. You're going to have a nervous breakdown trying to work all these things out. But be like the Bible woman.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I surrender myself to thee.
Amen.
I can't explain all these things happening to my life. I don't know why you allowed this to me, but I'm going to be like Hannah. I'm going to commit myself totally in the hands of God. And when you do that, God comes and opens the windows of heaven.
Amen.
Won't you like to be like a Hannah tonight?
Amen.
A godly mother. Today when we read the book of Samuel, we think of Hannah. We look at the great prophet of Samuel. The back scenes is Hannah. We look at this great Abraham Lincoln, a good mother behind the scene. We look at Moses, a good mother behind the scene. And you look at all the great men around the world today. In history, it was a great woman that was behind the scene. Godly mothers. Today, like I said, Mother's Day, it is not pursued by mother lovers. It's pursued by money lovers. But I believe that God has still got good mothers today. And if your mother is ungodly, I want to encourage you, pray for your mother. And if you as a husband create an atmosphere that your wife can, create an atmosphere to be a godly mother to the children. May God bless you today. May God bless you tonight. And I pray that God will richly be with you. And I know that by the message of the hour, God has formed us to be godly mothers. I believe the success of this ministry is our homes. I believe the message of the hour, it is no more in book form or tape form or computer form or picture form. It's got to become flesh. It's got to become you. You are the living tabernacle of the living dwells place. Redemption is not in book form or tape form. Redemption is always the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word that meant nothing to you and me. The Word was with God and the Word was God. It still meant nothing. But when the Word became flesh, that was redemption. So you become an amateur redeemer when the Word becomes flesh in you. Brother Branham says Abram was an amateur redeemer redeeming Lot back. And if he's the redeemer, we are amateur redeemers. You can redeem back what belongs to you. But that Word has got to become flesh. No more in tape form, no more in book form, no more in picture form. But it's got to become you.
Amen.
You are the rapture.
Amen.
The millennium is in you. The rapture is in you. The Word of God is in you. You are the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. You are the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's no more just in William Branham anymore. It's now in bright form.
Amen.
Brother Branham was the veil. We've got to come to the veil.
Yep.
But we've got to go beyond the veil.
Right.
You cannot go beyond the veil unless you come to the veil.
Amen.
And Brother Branham was the veil. And for you to know God, you've got to come to the veil. But you cannot stay with the veil. You've got to go beyond the veil. Amen. And some people come as far as the veil. They die with the veil. But the true church of Jesus Christ goes beyond the veil. The word become flesh in your flesh. And you can become an amateur redeemer. You can redeem, you know, back what belongs to God. It's what you say. You can speak the word. And that's why we thank God today that we are the church of Jesus Christ. Malachi 4 came to anoint Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is the fivefold ministry. And Ephesians 4 takes you to Revelation 4. Revelation 4 says, come up higher. And the only way God can take you higher, you've got to be under Ephesians 4. That Ephesians 4 ministry takes you to Revelation 4. And God takes you to a high elevation under that anointed ministry. Can we say praise the Lord? We are the fruits of Malachi 4. Amen. We're hanging on the seven branch. We are the offering of Malachi 4. And that's why I believe today that we are God. This message of the hour can raise up godly women. Godly atmosphere. And that's why I want to encourage men today. Pray with your wives. Pray with your children. Not at supper time, but make a time. Set aside, it's praying time. You as the pastor of your home, you as the priest of your home, make a special time. It's call the family in, sing a song, pray. Let all your family pray together. Become a worshiping family. Amen. Create an atmosphere. When you come to church, you're all charged up. Amen. May God bless you. May God be with you. Amen. Can we all stand? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's raise our hands before the Lord and just praise Him and thanks Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we deem this a grand privilege once again to bow our hearts before You. Lord, we thank You for Hannah, the godly mother. We thank You for a woman that of woman of worship, a woman of prayer, a woman of praise, a woman of God who surrendered all to God. In the time of a need, she just committed herself all to You. And oh God, I pray, maybe there's mothers today, Lord, praying for the baby or praying for a child, or maybe the situations in the home, maybe husband is strong, military dictator, maybe situations way with children, maybe financial problems, situation, pressures upon the home. I pray, oh God, may You just come in a very special way and may they just receive strength tonight and say, Lord, I'm not going to figure this out. I'm not going to work this out. But You are allowing the situation that I might just throw myself back in the arms of God. Amen. And throwing myself back in the arms of God like that Shunammite woman, like Abigail, amen. Lord, like Hannah, like different Bible women, Lord, just to say, Lord, I can't work this out, but I'm going to throw myself back in Your arms. Lord, we pray today that You will deal with each and every one of us. May we leave this service tonight and may we get strength to know there is godly women. The message of the hour has produced godly mothers, godly sisters, godly generation by the word of God. We thank You, Lord, the word has become flesh within our flesh that we can become amateur redeemers. Bless us, be with us tonight. Bless the local pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just give the Lord a clap offering. That was just wonderful.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, make us into that image, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the good word of God, oh Lord. Thank you for Your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How we love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.
Oh my, I got 6 pages of things I want to apply to my own life. It's a preacher likes to sermonize, and I don't want to sermonize any of this, Brother Harold. I just want to live it.
Amen.
Amen. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for his church. He died for his church. Anything contentious, anything gets stirred up in the home, you're the man, you're the one, you're the Christ image, you're the first one that should beat a path to the cross.
Amen.
You're the God image. Amen. And you know, there's so many things he said, but bless me, but in simplicity, what blessed me the most is that the man creates the atmosphere by how he loves his wife.
Amen.
And so you leave her with a certain feeling of herself.
Amen.
A certain feeling about herself. I am cherished.
Amen.
I am loved. My husband adores me. My husband really admires me.
Amen.
He loves me. Every young girl that ever gets married doesn't even second guess, doesn't even enter her mind that this boy likes somebody else. This boy tolerates her. This boy just sort of halfway likes her. She knows he loves her. She knows that she is the apple of his eye. He opens the door for her. He buys her flowers. He can't get off the phone. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours go by. He writes her little notes. He's always doing something for her to tell her just how much he loves her. And then 1 year goes by. Then 2 years go by. And all of a sudden he's not opening the door anymore. And the flowers come because somebody else reminds them it's her birthday. You remember the story Brother Branham talks about? How that man, the man was saddled with a woman that had just an ornery nature. Remember that story? Just an ornery nature. And Brother Branham, the man said, Brother Branham, I stood over her and tried to cast the demon out. Can you imagine that? And Brother Branham, the demon wouldn't come out. So, Brother Branham, what should I do to get rid of that demon? He said, Brother, I've got the answer for you. Buy her some flowers. You, brothers, you say, oh, man, my wife, I tell you, I leave the home. And when I come home, it's an emotional mess. How do you leave the home? What sort of atmosphere do you leave your wife in? Did you pray with her before you left home? Did you worship together? Was the word of God good tonight or wasn't it?
Amen.
Just apply it in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Young teenage girls, 16, 15, 16, 17, are you a Hannah? Looking for an Elkanah? But if you're not a Hannah, you're not going to find an Elkanah. Are you already? Let me tell you something, young 16-year-old, 17. You're not married now. What do you have that you won't have when you get married? When you get married and have children, you won't have time. And every parent said amen.
Amen.
And I'm 44 and you won't have energy either. Walked into a restaurant the other day with my little baby, Jared. He's 15 months. And the lady there got a seat. She said, oh, you must be grandpa. I said, no, I'm daddy. My best friend, Ken Ardeal, he's Brother Biscoe's son-in-law. He just called me the other day. He says, my daughter's getting married. He said, my son, my youngest son, Wesley, gave his heart to God. He's serving the Lord now. He says, Brother Jeff, I had my last child when I was 22 years old. I said, Brother Ken, I had my last child when I was 42 years old. What do you lose when you get married and have children? You lose a lot of time. Young lady, when you're 16, young man, when you're 16, 17, you know what you have a lot of? Time. When you get my age, camp goes by like that, and the next camp's there. When you're 16, you just say, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going? Mom, I'm bored. Dad, I'm bored. I don't know what the word bored means. So when you're young, and you want to marry an Elkanah, a man that'll say, you're worth to me more than 10 sons. You mean everything. You want an Elkanah, a man that'll love you, not idolize you, but cherish you. And enjoy you, not tolerate you, laugh with you, worship with you, weep with you. A man that's one with you. You want a man like that, then you need to become a Hannah. And let me tell you something. If you're looking at some boy and he doesn't have the Holy Ghost, and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have a thinking man's filter or a thinking woman's filter, then you're looking down the wrong stream. Make sure you're born again. Make sure he's born again. Right now you've got time. Seek God. Pray.
Amen.
Devote your life to worship.
Amen.
Young girl, let your parents, when they go by your room, they don't hear a CD playing. Not music. Wait a minute. She's worshiping God. And they crack the door open and you're on your knees. And you're praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, how I love you. I believe 16-year-olds can do that. I believe God's going to rapture 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. God's going to have them. There's going to be 13-year-olds when the rapture comes. Begin to see yourself as a daughter of God. Don't look at what the world paints you up as. Some object. Little sister, little lady, my godly sister, you're not an object. You're not some body for man to oogle and look at. You're a child of the King. You're a daughter of the King. You're a holy, godly woman. Amen. Made for the glory of God. For some godly man. Don't get your inspiration from 16 and 17 magazines. Get your inspiration from the message of the hour. Don't pattern after some fashion. Let me tell you something. You look something like some fashion model, you'll get some guy that'll want to follow after some fashion model. And let me tell you something. You may have a pretty little face and a pretty little body now, but 10 years does a lot of things. And you better have some character. And you think that guy's handsome. I had a brother come up to me the other day. He says, "Brother Jeff, you lost all your hair." And it happens like that. Just like that. Make sure there's something on the inside.
Amen.
You say, "Oh man, I really like this girl." Have you ever checked out her parents?
Amen.
You ever spend any time with your parents? When you marry a person, you marry their family. Is that right? You marry the whole clan. All of them. You can't get away. I don't go, if you go north and they go south, you're married to one another. Oh no, we're not. We're 2,000 miles away. Oh yes, you are, because everything that they are is inbred into her. Is that right? The fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. So check out the family. Dads, husbands, did you learn something tonight?
Amen.
Cherish that woman.
Amen.
Cherish that woman. Enjoy that woman. Laugh with that woman. Young 16-year-old Hannah, pray and worship. See yourself as a daughter, a holy, consecrated daughter of God. And you won't settle for some slicker of a guy. No, sir. You won't settle for that. And you just grow up. You may like some guy. Just wait till he grows up. Don't be in a hurry. Looking for a mate's like watching out for rattlesnakes in rattlesnake country. Isn't that what the prophet said? He said the Indian took one step. And he looked around. He said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Me in rattlesnake country. Walk them once, look them nine times. You find the one you love. You better have your eyes wide open when you marry her. Then after you get married, close them about halfway. Don't start picking at her faults. Don't say, 'Oh, she wasn't what I expected.' You weren't what she was expecting either. Then you'll find out love is not just a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Love is something that you go through hard times and battles, and you do disappoint one another. And the rose glasses come off. And you see each other for what they are, because after about 2 years, the husband and the wife begin to assert themselves. I counsel every married couple that I counsel. I honestly sometimes wonder why I do it, because when I'm sitting down beside that couple and they're just looking at one another, they're not hardly paying attention to a thing I say. I'd like to tape everything I say and give it to them and say, "Now listen to this tape again in 2 years. Because I tell them what they should do, how they should act, and what their conduct should be with one another, what they should look for. And I'd say things like, "Listen, what you see in that man that's a flaw." "Oh, he's not flawed." "Any bitty, little, itty bitty flaw that you see now, multiply it times 10 after you get married. What you see in her that you don't quite like right now, multiply it times 10 after you get married. Nah, it won't be that way. I'll just love it out of him. Ha! Amen. Be a Hannah. Young men, be an Elkanah. I want to be an Elkanah. I want to verbalize my appreciation for my wife more often. That's her love language. She loves me to verbalize my appreciation for her. You know, you can be married 20 years and she'll still say, "Do you love me?" Why? Because she wants to hear it. Not just, "Well, yeah, I love you." Tell me why you love me. Well, why I love you. Let me think. Give me a second. Give me a second. It should be on the tip of your tongue. I've been praying about it. You know, I get on my knees, and I've told every married couple that I've married, they've been married a while, and then they have these little problems. See, when you're going along single, it's like two rivers just parallel to one another. But when you get married, it's like two rivers merging. What do you have when you got two major rivers merging? You have white water. So it takes a while for the turbulence to settle out again. And so you'll have those times in your marriage. And you'll have those ups and downs in your marriage. And there must be something greater than filial love. You might lose a child. You might have a son that's wayward, that's not serving God. And if there's any weakness in the fabric of your family, if you're not strong in your marriage, you'll pick on one another. But if you've got a strong family, strong husband and wife relationship, something goes amiss, something that you never expected, it'll only draw you closer together. Amen. Amen. Husbands, listen to your wife. Look them in the eye. See what they're saying through what they're saying.
Amen.
A lot of times they say one thing and you have to sort of interpret. It's kind of like unknown tongues, isn't it, brothers? You got to kind of interpret what she's saying.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If you got a wife that's always weeping, always nagging, and you say, "Well, man, what? You have neglected her spirit realm. You're not feeding something in the realms of her emotions, things that she needs." And Brother Harold said it. Really boils down to one word: to love her, to enjoy her, to appreciate her. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song to him. Amen. I want us to sing a song. I want us to think about our families and our mates. Count your blessings.
Amen.
Count your blessings. I've told the brothers after you've been married a while, and you just, the sisters the same, I said, get on your knees and think of all of his good qualities. Not only just think about them, write them down. Get on your knees, think of all of her good qualities. And then over the years, salt and pepper those in from day to day. Honey, I want to tell you, you are such, and name what she is, what you enjoy, what you love about her. My wife is a woman of truth. She's a woman of truth. She's true blue. She'll tell you just like it is. Sometimes I don't want to hear it. But she's honest. She will never tell you something you want to hear. She'll tell you what you need to hear. And I have seen so many things in her. And I can go on and on on things that I love in her. About her honesty, her integrity, her purity, her sincerity. And there are things that you can just bathe your wife with that she would appreciate. And also tell her she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Now, you know, brothers, listen to me now. You operate on facts, don't you? Now, wait a minute. No, she's not the prettiest woman in the world. No, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Tell her that or else. And tell you what, isn't she the most beautiful woman in the world?
Yes.
The more I've been married to her, my wife, the more I love her. Because it's the Christ in her that I love. It's not just because of the person she was in her personality, but it's her longing to be like Jesus. And she sees that longing in me to be like Jesus. And then mirror, make sure that you live out, as Brother Harold said, live out forgiveness. If you have a spat in front of your kids, make sure you forgive in front of your kids. Live out. Don't pretend Christianity. You know, if you have a spat and then the kids never see you make up, but then you go to church and you raise your hands. No, if you have sinned, repent and learn to repent quickly. Something comes up, you have a little spat, repent then. Don't wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Repent right then. You're teaching your kids to learn how to surrender quickly.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's just sing the song unto him.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care, of the cross defending you?
give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear the word of God, it always, you know, just always is restoring. Amen. Not just only laying in the presence of the Son, but it's always a refreshing in Jesus Christ's name. We're glad we're able to go to the blood of Jesus Christ. We're just going to sing "When the Blood Veiled." Sin is a captive. It binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one hope to your destiny. That one hope is found when you're down on your knees. When I knelt, the blood veiled. Sin lost a battle, the Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell trembled, it rained heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood veiled. After the resurrection, Jesus went to the throne, presenting his sacrifice to our God alone. He said, "Father, it is finished." Oh, I can hear a heaven cheer. Glory to God, our redemption free and clear. When I knelt, the blood made all hell trembled, it rained heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood veiled. When I knelt, the blood veiled. What made all hell trembled, it rained heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. But for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he has for me is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize his grace is what I need.
when sin demanded justice for my soul. Mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. For God so loved the world that he sent his son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts there is still a war that rages and makes the sacrifice so hard to see. Oh, when midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope, it seemed so far away. When evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Reminding me of one day long ago. Mercy said no. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control.
Let's sing the song without any music. I just want you to be the music before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sing it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a friend.
What a friend.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.